Welcome back, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we get back to the Christian film industry, an industry that took off about 10 years ago thanks to the San Antonio Independent Christian Film Festival and a whole lot of producers who have been working very hard to bring a Christian message, a Christian worldview, into the area of film. And certainly this is important because this is one way we can capture the culture for Christ. And one of the most important forerunners on this important Christian film movement is George Escobar from Advent Film Group. He's one of the first Christian film producers on the new wave of Christian film production. And he's got, by the way, a film workshop coming up September 2nd and 3rd next week here in Denver, out here in our stomping ground. But we want to talk about what he's doing out here, what he's doing with the new movie Hero, which, by the way, is being previewed at the film workshop this next week. And we want to talk about Red September as well, coming out from Advent Film Group. George, welcome back to the Generations program. We appreciate having you.
Kevin, thank you so much for having me come back. And I'm so glad you mentioned San Antonio Christian Film Festival, because that's where I got my start.
Is that right? Wow. And you got your start out of the industry. In other words, you were vice president of Discovery, executive director for AOL, Time Warner, and then you moved into the Christian film industry. Give us a little background. Why? Why did you make that shift?
It was 2006, October, and I met Stephen Kendrick. And he really challenged me to figure out, okay, you know, God has given you these talents and these opportunities. What are you doing with it? And it really pierced my heart and caused me to get down on my knees and ask God for forgiveness and repentance. And 3 months later, Advent Film Group began in January 2007.
So this is about 4 years old. But I'm thinking you've done a few projects since then. You guys have been really busy.
The Lord has been blessing us tremendously, and I think it's because of the fruit of what they teach at the San Antonio Christian Film Festival, which is to honor God, to make films telling God's stories, not ours. Mm. And those are the stories that I believe He wants to bless.
Yes, yes, yes. What is the toughest thing about producing a film, George? If you were to just step back and say, okay, this is what we've got to work through in order to get one of these things to market.
Well, I would say equally tough is the fundraising part, and then, of course, the distribution and promotion.
Okay.
The easiest part is the production.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha. Okay. So if you're a creative guy out there and you've got all kinds of neat ideas and you want to bring these things to production, you've got to get over fundraising first. You've got to raise the funds to do it. Films are expensive. And what are we talking about? To produce a pretty decent story film that may go for 90 minutes.
Well, there are multiple levels of production. The big studio films cost anywhere from, $20 to $60 million on average. The independent low budget is usually in the $2 to $10 million range, and then the ultra low budget can be as low as $20,000. In fact, we are working on a movie right now that we're filming in October called Writer's Block, which is going to be made for $20,000. But our other films have been in the range of $150,000, under $1 million, and then a multi-million for a project we did called Alone Yet Not Alone.
George, is it possible to produce a film for $20,000, $40,000, $60,000 without the film coming across as schlocky and cheap?
Yes, nowadays you can.
Okay.
Primarily because the digital technology has really push down the cost of the production side. Most of that money on a $20,000 movie is going to be spent on two items. One is the cast. You can hire a professional cast for that because you can pay them the SAG ultra low budget rate of $100 a day. Mm-hmm. And then you feed them. And then you want to make sure that your story can uphold good production value by limiting the number of locations. For Writer's Block, we have two locations. We only have two principal actors and five supporting actors and two bit players versus a normal shoot that might have half a dozen to a dozen locations, because that's what increases the cost.
Now, acting is important, and I think that may be one of the struggles for the up-and-coming Christian film industry. What is your thought on acting? Can you get some good actors these days?
Oh, absolutely. There are so many great actors who are Christian, who are just wanting to get some work, getting the visibility out there and practicing the craft that they've been honing for a number of years.
And you don't need to pay these guys $2 million a whack.
No. Hopefully, as the productions grow and become more successful, they're counting on the fact that you'll hire them again for future productions with bigger budgets. But also, it gives them a real good opportunity to showcase their talent because they now have a feature film that can really demonstrate what they can do. Of course, the script is the biggest ingredient there. It's got to be an outstanding script.
How are you doing with fundraising, George? I mean, you've got a number of projects, Red September, Hero, Come What May. You've had some great projects in the works and some produced already. How did you get the funding for it?
Well, Hero, for example, was fully funded through investor funding. That's called equity funding.
Okay.
And we were able to get that. Again, the Lord was so generous with us in the midst of the bailout crisis of 2008 and 2009 is when we raised that money. Same thing with Come What May in 2007. That was a $300,000 budget. $150,000 was spent on production, and $150,000 was spent on marketing and distribution. Now, for Red September, our budget for that is close to $3
million. Oh, wow. Wow. How do you pull together $3 million, my friend?
Well, we're still raising the funds. That movie is the story of the Congress's role during the 2008 bailout up to the debt ceiling crisis that we just had.
Right.
And we interviewed several members of Congress and staffers. So it's a very timely type of story that is very much like Mr. Smith Goes to Washington and a combination of that and All the President's Men.
And I think a critical story because America is on the brink of disaster, possibly an economic Armageddon. And the solutions, of course, are not more debt, more government spending, where they just kick the can down the road and make the problem even more intense for the next administration or the next generation. But you're dealing with those issues right now with a major motion picture. This is really a critical story. It may be chronicling the end of an empire.
I agree. And that's why it took us a couple of years to get the project in place. We wish we had finished it sooner, but in the midst of our other productions, we couldn't. And we're now counting on those Christian folks who want to invest not so much in this film, but in a message that really points to the fact that it begins with a family. A strong family is the foundation for a strong country.
Right.
And we portray that very strongly in Red September.
Right. While you're displaying what's going on in Washington, you also point out that there are some principled congressmen, there are some principled leaders. There are good guys. There are the good guys. They're out there. And they try to maintain some semblance of principle in the midst of some pretty chaotic, wild things happening in Washington.
Yes, I was personally surprised and shocked and actually pleased to meet with members of Congress who I had no idea the kind of fighting that had to go on in order to do the right thing. It's just amazing the opposition that righteous people have in government for those who want to stay in power and want to control the agenda.
Yeah. So what do you think? How are you going to pull together $3 million for this, George?
Well, we've received some investment already.
Okay.
We've got the story in front of some major investors where it's going to be prayer. The Lord is going to have to move in their hearts to see that this is important and that they need to step up to the plate and make that kind of investment, not just for this movie, but really for future generations, because a movie lasts several lifetimes.
Yeah, and this could be a very exciting story. I mean, there are exciting stories about, you know, bank robbers that engage in a $5 million heist. But what we're talking about here is not some dinky little $5 million heist. We're talking about an $800 billion redistribution of the wealth at the expense of the nation's future. I mean, that's a very intense story. And you're trying to bring this to the screen in a major motion picture.
Yes, that $800 billion is opening the Pandora's box. As you know, it gave permission seemingly, to, oh, okay, well, if the public can tolerate $100 billion, let's go for $2 or $3 trillion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
it's amazing. It's mind-boggling.
It has paved the way to the destruction of the American economy and a massive, massive increase in the size of government. George, let's get back to Hero. I haven't seen the movie. I have seen some of your previews online, and I would encourage folks to check that out. You can connect with any of these things from AdventFilmGroup.com, by the way. And it sounds like a great story. I mean, here, on the one hand, you want to talk about politics, worldview, exciting things happening in Washington. But when it comes down to it, as you said, this world really revolves around relationships, around family relationships. And the movie Hero is a very poignant story about how father-son relationships are restored or being restored in this little tale about Little Leaguers. Why don't you give us a little bit more insight on what you're doing with this movie?
Sure. The story for Hero began with a conversation that Manny Edwards, who wrote and directed it, I should say he co-wrote it with John Fornoff, who was a writer for Focus on the Family. Anyway, we had a conversation about playing baseball and how much we loved the game, and yeah. And we began to share stories about playing catch with our sons. And you know, I have a personal story with my middle son who he did not like baseball because he got hit when he was younger, and I started playing catch with my youngest son who loves baseball. And my middle son came out one day after several days he'd been doing this and very, you know, meekly said, "Dad, can we play catch?" And I cry every time I think about that. And it's that moment of just, you know, making that connection. Every father can do that. Just play catch with your son. And that begins the step in the process for strengthening relationships that may already be strong or restoring ones that are broken. So that was the genesis for Hero. Mm-hmm. And that one man can make a difference in restoring a relationship with his family and reaching out to his son. And then begin to transform an entire community as other fathers, you know, pick up the same, or undertake the same mission.
Yeah,
and that's what Hero is all about. You know, every boy needs a hero, and his hero should be his dad.
Yeah. Yeah, powerful, powerful message. George, this is such a fundamental story, restoring fundamental relationships in the father-son relationship, and it touches me significantly because, you know, for me, it was important to restore my relationship with my son by spending way more time with him, and I found it wasn't so much an issue of quality time as quantity time. And the father-son relationship really does require that in order to have that moment of discipleship, in order to take advantage of those opportunities to disciple our children in the principles of God's Word.
Absolutely. It's that time spent, especially while they're at your home. I mean, there's virtually no excuse.
Yeah.
And we make the point in the story of Hero, there is one character who's a prisoner. And he's not able to spend the time of that he would like with his son or even hug him. Mm-hmm. And yet all these other men who are, quote, free, choose to spend their time at work mm-hmm. or are pursuing their career. And so there's a real breakthrough here when the prisoner actually turns out to be the freest man in his community because he's the first one to realize, you know, mm-hmm. I've got to do something to connect with my son and was able to persuade the warden to allow him to practice baseball with his son in a very unique way. Mm. And you know, so we want to make sure that men have no excuse, so that we show this in a very dramatic way.
The movie's soon to come out?
We're hoping that it will be out in the spring of 2012.
Okay.
I believe the Lord is working in pairs with the father and son theme because, as you know, Courageous is also coming out in September 30th.
Yes.
And we developed Hero about the same time that Courageous was being developed, and mm-hmm. and I really think that as you know, Christ sent his disciples out in pairs, he's sending out these two father-son movies in pairs.
George, it seems like we're on the cusp of a tremendous wave of Christian creativity as we begin to bring a message of truth and relationships back to a lost and lonely world. That's what we've been saying. That's the theme of this program and has been for the last 10 years. And you're doing the same thing in film. You're trying to bring a biblical message of truth, that is a message about God, about human relationships, about our relationship with the true and living God. You're bringing this back to the major motion picture screen, and I think that's going to indicate maybe a turnaround for the nation. What's your thought?
Well, we do take our inspiration from Scripture. Malachi 4:6, for hero, turning the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Well, how can you dramatize that in ways where people are sort of living out their lives? And so the baseball diamond with all these fathers, different careers, is a way to show that kind of truth, that God works in our lives, and we need to recognize that. So Hero is one of those films that really appeals to what is called in the industry a crossover audience. Mm-hmm. It appeals to both Christians and the non-Christians, because the characters are real. They struggle through their faith. They struggle mm-hmm. through their relationships. Mm-hmm. There are no neat answers. There's a lot of hope. There is a lot of transformation and redemption, but it's not so over the top that people don't get it or they don't believe it.
Well, we try to avoid what I call post-it note Christianity, where the bad boy prays a sinner's prayer and gets saved, and that's pretty much all that happens in the film. I think it's important to weave Christian themes and a Christian view of reality into the film. That is, somehow the characters have to know the presence of God and the importance of God in their lives, but it doesn't have to feel post-it note-y. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. In the spectrum of all the different types of Christian films that are out there, we've made so far films that, as audiences tell us, they we have a strong Christian audience, they always are able to invite their non-Christian friends because they feel that they're not going to get pummeled.
Yeah.
I've heard one person say, mm-hmm. tell me that they feel that they're welcome to watch this movie with their non-Christian friends.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, there have been some good Christian films produced in the history of filmography, and I can think of The Hiding Place as one of my favorites. Personally, I thought, mm-hmm. of course, any film that depicts real reality and some of the incredibly dangerous, difficult challenges that face human beings, as Corrie ten Boom faced under the Nazis, those sorts of stories do very well. And I would say The Hiding Place, one of the better films produced by Christians.
Absolutely. I love that movie.
Yeah.
It's been about 20 years since I've seen it, but yeah. I still remember it very strongly.
Yeah. Any others that you would recommend? I mean, you're a film producer. You're interested in bringing a Christian perspective to the screen. Any other films that strike you in the history of filmography? You say, man, they did a pretty good job weaving some Christian themes throughout it.
Actually, the one that Hollywood has made most recently that had a profound impact on me is The Help. I don't know if you've had a chance to see that recently, but the forgiveness and the strength of doing what's right and not succumbing to peer pressure in order to do what's right is really strong in that film. I love all the films from Sherwood, strongly evangelical, and we need a good dose of that once in a while as well.
Yes.
So that's sort of the spectrum.
Yes. Did you see the remake of True Grit?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. It felt a little more Christian, didn't it, than the previous one with John Wayne?
It sure was. Mm-hmm. I was very surprised mm-hmm. at how strong the faith was portrayed in a positive way.
Yeah, yeah. And even the revenge was a problem, but it seemed to be curbed at points. I mean, she seemed to want to get the civil magistrate involved, and there was reference to God throughout, and it was for the most part, reverent. In other words, God is a factor here, and we need to revere the true and living God. That message did come through.
That's right, and her belief in God was not mocked.
Right,
but
right.
Rather was actually respected.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it can happen. I think Ben-Hur would be another one that was well done, a movie that's that probably ought to be watched from time to time.
Yeah, Ben-Hur is probably one of the strongest. People think it's a biblical movie when it really was, you know, it's not based on the Bible, but most audiences equate it that way because of the strong presence all the way through the entire movie. You know, you have this subtext and context of who it is that is really driving the story and who Ben-Hur eventually recognizes as the true God.
You know, I tell you what, George, I feel some tension sometimes as I view Hollywood, as I view the film industry and what's happening in the history of filmmaking over the last 80 to 90 years. On the one hand, I criticize Hollywood on a regular basis. I mean, there's some awful movies, most of which win the Academy Awards. You know, in fact, I was disappointed True Grit didn't do better than it did. Typically, it's movies like Black Swan that do very well with the Academy Awards. And so on the one hand, I'm up in arms against what's going on in the culture around us. I think for the most part, it seems to be going downhill. But at the other side, you have some pretty decent productions. I think of the first Narnia production that was well done, and it reflected much of what C.S. Lewis was trying to portray in his book. So you've got these. You've got good signs. You've got good things happening. I mean, we've got a huge Christian film producing industry that right now is burgeoning. I mean, what's going on? What's God doing right now? Have you thought about that yourself? I mean, on the one hand, there's some real negative things going on in the wider culture. But on the other hand, there are some bright spots. How do you reconcile that?
Yeah, absolutely. I've thought a lot about this. And one of the conclusions I've reached is that you know, Christian filmmakers are becoming better and better storytellers all the time, and you also have to factor in the audience and what the training that they have, but also the fundamental fact that every single member of the audience has this emptiness that can only be filled by Christ. And to the extent that the Christian filmmaker is able to tell stories that help to fill that void, that help people to have that relationship with Christ, obviously, that's going to resonate in a very powerful way. We just need to be able to do it as elegantly as Hollywood has been in doing stories that sort of skirt around that. They can never get to it because they don't know Christ. And so when Christian filmmakers have that same expertise and that capacity to tell those kinds of powerful stories, and then those stories themselves are the ones that fill that void, Hollywood is going to wake up and be shocked and go, where did our market go? You know, all these Christian filmmakers are become better storytellers than we are. We're still a ways from that, but that's the direction that we're headed.
George, I have to tell you that I have a personal project that I would really like to see come about in film production, and that is a blockbuster $400 million production of The Worldwide Flood. Every culture understands this. The Japanese, Chinese characters are based, some of them are based upon the idea that there was a worldwide flood at one point in time. Every culture understands it. Every person or every people group around the country, around the world, understand that at one point there was a major, devastating flood. Moreover, right now we've got so many films that have an apocalyptic edge to them that, boy, I think that it's about time that we see a major blockbuster film presenting the Nephilim, presenting the massive wicked rebellion against God, and the judgment that God sends upon these people some 4,000 years ago. And I think it's time that we bring some CGI graphics to bear and we produce a worldwide flood picture that is accessible in just about every continent, every country around the world.
Well, actually, that movie is in production, preparation
it?
Right now.
Okay.
By the gentleman who directed Black Swan, Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a, yeah, I think it's going to be a big budget movie. Hopefully, they will do it justice. But based on what I've read so far, his take on it is, the flood was an environmental catastrophe. So it's going to be an environmentalist.
Yeah, he's going to fail in producing that. I think Christians owe it to the world. Honestly, I think in terms of the event that happened outside of the cross of Jesus Christ and his redemptive work, and we've had a number of films on that, but outside of that, the number one most important event in the history of the world since the creation of the world was the worldwide flood. And I think it's time that those that maintain a creationist worldwide flood perspective of that major catastrophe ought to present it, because ultimately that message is a warning to the entire world that God is going to revisit this world one more time unless men repent. Of course, judgment is coming. And that message, I think, needs to be set in front of the masses. And it could come very strongly by means of a major motion picture produced by Christians.
Yeah, I believe you're right, and that would make a very powerful story. So, let's do it. Let's start working on the script.
Okay, I'll get the website out, and we'll start collecting the $400 million. If I get the $400 million, will you help produce the film?
Okay.
Is that a deal?
It's a deal.
Okay. Okay, George. Well, all that to say, George, that, we need a vision here, and I believe that right now we're working on, $400,000 films, $2 million films, $5 million films, but there's nothing to say that Christians without a vision or with a vision cannot produce something really substantial in the years to come. This movement may yield some major efforts in 20, 30 years from now.
I believe so, and the job that Alex Kendrick is doing on behalf of the Christian filmmakers is just tremendous.
Yes.
I think he's going to be the first, breakthrough director that will, with Courageous, I'm praying that, he'll break the $100 million box office mark and DVD sales.
Wow.
Because that will open the doors for making those big budget movies to be directed by Christian directors.
Hmm. Wow. Well, ladies and gentlemen, exciting times for the Christian faith, and exciting times for Christian culture, exciting times for Christian film production, and I hope that these things will really inspire our young people who are interested in presenting their talents, their creative talents, to the glory of God in some of these avenues, and certainly film is a wonderful, wonderful avenue in which that can happen. Let me encourage you to check out the film workshop coming up here in the Denver area on September 2nd and 3rd. For more information on the AdventFilmGroup.com. Again, that's AdventFilmGroup.com. If you'd like to be part of that two-day film workshop with George Escobar and the Advent Film Group. Hey, George, thanks again for joining us on Generations. You need to come back from time to time. We need to know what's going on.
I'd love to come back. Thank you so much.
You have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast, my friend. If you'd like to interact with the program, email me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.